lots to talk about. All right. Well, we are back. We're back in the studio. Feels like we just left because we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just
in
here.
Fact.
Yeah, but we have some special guests here today, all the way from the suburbs. We're going to talk a little bit about the burn camp, Camp I Am.
Camp I Am Me.
I Am Me. I keep forgetting the
meat. Well, here, part. I'll tell you how you won't forget. Gentlemen, thank you guys so much for this gift that they gave us.
What's in there, hundreds?
It's all rolled up hundreds. It's wonderful.
You know,
rolled up Dominicans.
And then.
There you go. There you go.
It's the best 8 inches you'll ever have.
At least for me.
Well, in the studio today, we have Steve from Bartlett, David from Elk Grove, and Phil Zielinski, who... Phil, what's your title over there?
Executive Director of...
Will everybody know if I say burn camp? Is that synonymous?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
David, why don't you start off, tell us a little bit about the burn camp.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to throw you right into it.
You know, and you got it right. It's known as the burn camp for the state of Illinois. All throughout the Illinois, we do have some kids that come from different states as well. It was changed not too long ago to Camp IME, and that was actually by one of our burn survivors who basically said, listen, I'm still a person. I'm still a regular kid, and that's actually what the camp is all about, is just being a regular kid. And that's where we thrive. You know, that's our flagship is Camp IME, and it's by the Illinois Fire Safety Alliance, which is still about promoting fire safety, fire prevention materials, including what you've even heard probably lately is our fire smoke detector installation program. More so in our suburban areas, but it's reached over 280 suburban departments. I mean, that's a great number to have on outreach.
Wow. Yeah.
And when we do that, we
also reach out to... Is that handing out smoke detectors and stuff like that?
Yeah, as long as the fire department is willing to install them. And I'll do a quick little plug. If anybody emails me or gets my information through you guys, I'll send them the whole way to get a free smoke alarm installation program.
Okay, we'll get ready to be inundated by approximately 8 people.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm okay with meeting those 8 people. That's 8 people more.
Awesome.
You know, they've put in alarms into over 2,000 homes in the past 2023. Over 4,000 people were high index for suspicion of fire problems, such as elderly and or children with disabilities. And because of that, I think this is a great program. And we've paired up with the city of Chicago as well. They've done a great outreach with us. Tom Taft through Blue Sky has also done a lot of work with us and given a lot of money back that has actually gone right back into our communities. And where our downside is a lot of times is as a non-for-profit, they hear the word that we're Illinois Fire Safety Alliance, they think we're receiving money from the state of Illinois, and that's just not true.
Is everything privately funded then?
I wouldn't say all of it is privately funded. It is privately funded to an extent, right? We do have books that go to our staffing. Most of the money that we get goes right back into supporting our burn survivors as well as our outreach for firefighter safety or fire prevention.
Okay.
Wow.
And how long has burn camp been around? Because I've heard about it ever since I've been on, so it's got to be a while.
Yeah, it's over 30 years. Yeah. I know Phil would know the exact, but I'm assuming 33 years.
33, okay.
Since it was in 91,
Yeah, 1991.
Do you know like how it came about? Was it one particular incident? Was it one particular person? Because everything like this seems to stem from... One person got burned. Hey, let's start a foundation, and it grows from there.
From one tragedy,
we
get the triumph out of it, and I fully agree with that. I don't know the exact one. I'm not sure if anybody knows the exact one situation.
Yeah, there were multiple.
But do you know that was, in fact, how it started?
I could be wrong on this, but I do believe that other states have, every state has a burn camp of some sort. And I believe that Illinois was looking at other states, and they wanted to have one for themselves.
So it's all, like, independent of each other?
Correct.
Nothing? Okay.
Yes. And
just
actually,
like anything good in the fire service, stolen from someone else?
Yeah. And even no original the International idea. Association of Firefighters hosts a national, or an international now. It's usually U.S. and Canada. They even host a camp for children that are burn survivors as well.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So far-reaching, man.
Yeah. I know... This is probably, you want to be as least subjective as you can about this, but what is the criteria for somebody to be involved in your burn camp? That's got to be a rough way to categorize somebody to come in there.
So it is, how would I describe this? You still have to be seen at some type of, have received some type of burn care. Now, here's where we start losing some of our people. As technology and medical care has gained advancements,
right,
we start not seeing so many at the burn centers.
Which is a good thing, right?
It's a great thing. But at the same time, when they don't go to some of our burn centers, such as Loyola or U of C, we kind of lose them in the mix. Because what you went to a major hospital for 20 years ago, you're not doing that so much now. In fact, and here's the plug, if you know somebody that has had some type of burn treatment, needs some type of burn support, we have children that you might not even know that they've been burned, and we have others where it's very obvious. And that's where the camp really actually succeeds in taking that away. And I know Steve will tell you a story later about some of these kids where they really just shed away that they're burn survivors, and they just become kids in front of you. And if you know kids, or if you're here in the podcast, I mean, let us know. We take kids from any different age, from 8 to 18. We have a transition period where we try to teach our kids. We call it counselor in training. We teach them to become more about becoming adults, adult burn survivors, right? And there is that difference as you become an adult. We do a great job in that. And then a lot of our campers, and this is kind of actually really neat, is a lot of our campers have started becoming counselors.
Yeah.
And they become counselors, and they are giving back to the community that gave so much to them. Now, it stinks for us as volunteers because there's not as much need for us, but it is great to see our burn survivors becoming burn heroes and burn advocates for the organization.
Wow.
Well,
yeah, so it's not even necessarily a fact. It's not even necessarily that you guys aren't willing to help. It's just these kids aren't really popping up on your guys' radar at this point.
Not as much.
Yeah.
You know, and there's, and that's great, right? We've got technology and medical care that is far advancing.
Well, but the grafting that they're doing nowadays is ridiculous.
It's like amazing.
It's really so much less evasive now than it was 10 years ago.
There's a cooling gel right now that can go out right on burns, and it does. It does a great healing factor. It's not what we had even just 20 years ago. Yeah. And it is amazing. But we do lose people that may need our services just because they didn't go to a burn center. We want to have that outreach, you know, and we're always looking for different ways, different marketing committees, so to speak, to get out there and figure out a way.
I'll give credit to Phil here. When he took over, what have you been here, 10 years? 10 years? When he took over marketing, really, I remember driving to work, and I actually heard on the radio station an advertisement for Burn Camp. So he's getting out there and getting the word out, and essentially you don't want to have burn camp at all. You don't want to have any kids that are
right.
Burn.
Of course.
It would be great if you could shut down.
It's not. Yeah, right? Isn't that a weird thing to say? But it's a reality. So how do we get kids to come, you know?
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Phil's tenacity, he emailed me, and what was it, 5 minutes later, we already started working out a
boom,
deal.
Boom, here we are.
Yeah, he's like, hey, if you get some time, and I did, because this is important.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that it's a game changer when it comes over the radio or it comes over your screen, that it's a pediatric whatever. You know, if it's a kid trapped or a pediatric, you know, arrest or something, that's a different run than your everyday run. And right. It doesn't matter what it is. Any time it involves a child is a game changer for us.
Mm-hmm. You know, and honestly, even these fires that we'll have that's maybe I'm just getting old and kind of a wuss in my old age, but like even these just bread and butter standard fires that we have are just so they just hit these kids so critically at their young age, just having a fire in their house, let alone them actually being injured from the fire. I couldn't imagine the, you know, how these kids are dealing with some of the issues.
I think you bring it up perfectly. You're seeing it as a father now.
All right.
It is what it really is. And yeah. And that is one thing, too, where we strive. We do have a survivor support program, not just for our burn survivors. Okay. But we can hook you up with other parents that have gone through what you went through. We can talk about different care, different modalities, different therapies. And that's actually where we really strive, almost kind of like the Mavis mentality, right? Something happens here, we're going to send you help. And we've started to do that more in a regional aspect. And I think there's a lot of parents out there that they hate what they went through alone. And I think when they reach out to our organization, we've got people that went through what you went through. They're going to tell you what's great and what's bad and who to contact. And again, we talk about the camp, we talk about all our programs, but in reality, it's networking. I mean, you guys know
right.
it's all about networking. And it's like you talked about being a dad, you're now seeing it in a different way that you never knew was going to affect you.
Right.
You know, one day you're going to be there. We just talked about that.
Talking about that on the
and
way.
And it's
over.
A great change. It is
hey,
a great
speaking
change.
Of networking, we're going to pause here for 1 second. I'm having a little technical difficulty. Let me sort this out. Give me 1 second. All right, now.
There we go.
We were recording, but we've had some disasters with one of these not working. Yeah, so we were talking about burn camp, and one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, we talk about the physical injuries of these poor kids, but and them having to be seen by a burn doctor, and now that you're getting treatment at such an advanced level of care now, but do you guys at the burn camp, do you get into the psychological aspects of getting these kids back to where they were before? This episode of Chicago's Bravest Stories is brought to you by the Frontline Mortgage Team. In studio right now, we have one of the members of the Frontline Mortgage Team, Josh Hill. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Vince. Happy to be here in person. Do a couple promos in person, considering last time the promo was my voicemail, me not answering, which was not flattering and yet got pretty good mileage, I've heard.
It got great mileage. But now nobody can say that you did not answer your phone because here you are. And I understand there's some big developments with the Frontline Mortgage Team.
Yeah, we're excited at some new, you know, initiatives that we're doing. We're now offering $1,000 credit for police, fire, military, teachers, healthcare. I should have started fire, police, right?
Yeah, you should have.
Okay. Yeah, it's mainly for fire. But yeah, so that's what's going on. So with this new move, we've got a lot of things that are coming up. We'll be out on the road more, doing more sponsorships. So if people have, you know, different functions with their union and things like that, just let us know. We'd love to try to get out there and, you know, be out there in person.
That's $1,000 credit at closing?
Yes. Yeah, at closing.
And it, you can do whatever you want with that $1,000?
Yeah. I mean, it's a credit. You can do whatever you can. I mean, legally.
Buy a motorcycle.
I'd prefer legal. But, yeah, you can buy, I mean, you can use it to furnish your new home, buy a grill, whatever. Or, yeah, you can, you know.
Buy something frivolous and.
Yeah.
Unuseful.
A couple, you know, new fishing rods, you know.
Snowmobile.
Yeah. All the firemen, our firefighter things that we enjoy. Yeah, so that's just a part of what we're doing. Like I said, we're going to be out on the road more involved. So we'd love for the different locals to, you know, hit us up. And
if anybody has any questions about that $1,000 incentive, what can they do to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way would be just get us on social media. You'll see that's where we post a lot of our goings on. So we're on Facebook, the Frontline Team. We're on Instagram at the Frontline Team. We're easy to find. And then, of course, you know, Joey Matthews is our team's leader. So he's easy to find. Of course, he's super accessible. You know, we all know that. They can give me a call. They can contact any of the other members on the team.
And they can reach you at any of your social media, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Frontline Mortgage Team, proud sponsor of Chicago's Bravest Stories. So if you need to get a hold of them, Josh will answer his phone, and he definitely will answer his social media.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's got to be a big component, especially for a kid.
And I'm going to throw this out there. We have formal type of training with how to deal with your burn, how to talk about your burn. But some of the best stuff we do is informal training with how to talk to your burn. And if it's okay, I'll even tell you a story. We actually just talked about Jessica. In fact, if you look at your challenge coin, you have a lady on there. It looks like the Mabus symbol, you know, two hands coming together, and there's a third hand in there, and the hand is slightly deformed. This lady, she's on top of one of our bigger guys. She's tired. I think at the time she was maybe 10 years old, maybe 9 years old. It's a hot day, and she's on the shoulders, and they're running around. They're going through bushes. They're doing all this stuff for this great game that we've got. And literally this little kid comes up and he kind of touches her on the leg, and he's, you know, very short compared to the giant that she's on the shoulders. And he looks at her hand and says, "Your hand." And I saw this little girl who, again, at that time, she looked like she was ready to fight. She tensed up. You could tell she was anger. I'm about 8 feet away. I'm getting ready to kind of interject as an adult, as a dad.
Yeah.
And I this is not where I want to see this conversation go. And I see her tense up. She looks down. She gets ready to kind of say something mean. And the kid goes, "You've got a scratch and you're bleeding." This girl's missing a finger.
Yeah.
The kid didn't see the burn, didn't see the deformity. All he saw was that was a little girl who was bleeding.
Yeah.
And he was worried that she was bleeding. Had nothing to do that she had been burned.
Didn't even really see it. A year prior.
Didn't see anything. And she went from being, and all of us know that posture, right? You're getting angry. Yeah. Your shoulders are up. And you just saw her relax. And for the rest of that camp, in fact, for all the camps that I've known her, there has totally been a total change in her mindset as an individual. Wow. That's what the camp does.
Yeah.
Steve and I are going to try to do great work, and they train us for this. We do different trainings. We do educational stuff. We go out and meet people like you. But what the kids do one-on-one is so much more than I think what I could ever really imagine. In fact, we have a license plate fundraiser going on right now for $50. That picture of her hand is on the license plate. It's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
It's great. And I'm sure, Steve, you've probably got a story similar to this.
Well, to talk about Jess, you know, like, she's in my group in Unit 4 CIT, right? So we have, like, different units that we categorize the kids in. You know,
yeah.
There's young girls, young boys, the middle-aged kids, and then you got, like, the CITs, counselors in training. It's like purgatory for campers or if they want to be a counselor.
Yeah, yeah, kind
of. And like Jess is a part of that program right now. And she's become such an ambassador. She's been there since she was a kid. I don't know how old. She's there before I was there.
Yeah, 8 or 9. She was young. She was young.
And she's become such an ambassador for camp and such a good resource for the little kids.
An advocate for.
We're teaching her how to talk to little kids about their burns. Nah, she's teaching us.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you guys bring to the table that she's not?
I'm not a burn survivor. So that aspect of it is kind of like difficult to talk to the kids about. I don't know anything about it. I can try my best, but there's nothing better than a camper who's gone through and is now a counselor.
Yeah, there's something beautiful about that. Because, I mean, yeah. I feel like us as a bunch of guys at the table right now talking, like, as I get this a lot for my wife personally, like, just we're all very logical guys on the fire department. We're all like, we've got a problem here. We need to fix this. We need to do this. And we're generally not emotional guys. And like, it's awesome for these kids to, I mean, kind of teach us how to deal with emotions and the therapy that they're working with on each other. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Where physically is the camp?
It is actually Ingleside, Volo Auto Museum.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It actually butts up right against the side of the Auto Museum. It is Camp Duncan YMCA.
Okay.
It is a hosted camp. They have other camps while we're there, some special, some regular camps. It's a great area. Everything from having fishing to a lake to It's on Fish Lake.
Fish Lake.
Yeah.
If you can't catch a fish at Fish Lake.
We have guys that catch fish. We do have kids that catch fish. We have kids that's all they wish they would do. And I respect those kids. It's great. You know, I think it's interesting. You talk about like that mentality of the fireman, right?
Yeah.
We've all been on scenes that are horrible. Steve and I have, you guys have. When we go on one of those scenes, if we make a phone call, we get somebody that's going to talk to us mentally, right? We've got our employee assistance program. We got the IFF resources. We also have like the Illinois Firefighter Peer Support Programs. We have people we can go talk to. We miss that when we send a kid to a hospital, particularly depending on their burns. How long are they going to be in that hospital? Who do they have as outreach? And actually, again, we talk about the resources that we have. We have a lot of burn survivors. Hossam's a great example. Mm-hmm. Comes and talks to kids in Loyola Burn Center all the time just to come and see how they're doing. Hey, I've been there. This is what you're going to expect. This is what's going to happen. And I think you touched on it as a dad, like, we miss that, right?
Yeah.
And that's where, again, this organization really stems, is we've got people that have that. We have burn survivors. We talked about Jessica, who's in college, but we just had Jimmy White, who won a volunteer award. Mm-hmm. He was a young kid that was playing, shouldn't have been doing some things that he was doing.
Yeah.
Lit his shirt up on fire. He's now a teacher, and he comes back to camp every year, and he's in charge of our little kids. In fact, he does, I don't even know if he has any kids or how many kids, but he is an amazing guy with young children, probably better than what I am. But it's just amazing to see that come full circle to a guy that fully understands, I know what you've been through.
Yeah.
I know where you're going, how you're going to get there, and here's the roadmap, and we're going to be here together.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Because that's at that point, you guys aren't even just there to help. You're guiding hand at that point. You're really telling them what they have to expect, like what they can maybe possibly have to overcome in the future. And, I mean, again, this program is, we don't even have to speak more about it. People know.
Let's dive into a little bit about you two.
Yeah.
Steve, you're from Bartlett. What got you in the fire service?
So, I think I always wanted to be a fireman when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think every kid wants to be an astronaut. It's like,
part-time Batman.
You want to be an astronaut, you want to be a fireman. So I think that just stuck with me. One of the things that got me into camp, though, I will say this, is my uncle was a firefighter,
yeah.
And he would partake in the FD parade every year in camp.
Yeah. Which is June 19th, by the way, this year, if anybody wants to come out and
okay.
support oh, yeah. us
with That's a rig. The, we'll Wednesday, take all that information.
Thursday, yeah.
We'll promote you.
For sure.
And his daughter, my cousin, was a counselor. She's been there for 15, 16, 17 years.
Kristen?
I don't know, forever.
Wonderful lady.
And she would... This is back in the day before we had digital cameras. She would come back from camp and show us all the pictures that she got developed at
the photo at
Walgreens. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I seen all these kids, and I was like, man, this is awesome. And she would show us, and I said, this is something I want to get involved in. So I got in the fire service when I was 21, wanted to focus on that. So a couple years go by, and then our assistant chief, Mike Fagola, who's been a big part of burn camp over the years.
Okay.
I asked him, I said, hey, can you sneak me in here?
Yeah.
And he got me in as a counselor, and I've been involved for, I don't know, like right before you came, 11 years. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, something I'll do until I can't do it anymore.
Did you start your career in Bartlett? Or?
I started Elk Grove Township.
Okay. Which is now defunct, right?
Yes.
They went to sleep.
Yeah.
How'd that feel?
So, well, it was a lot of great guys. I can go to any fire department, and there's somebody at that fire department who worked for Elk Grove Township.
Yeah. You're from Elk Grove.
I'm Elk Grove Village, yes.
I actually met him when he was in Elk Grove, and I was in Elk Grove Township.
I want you to give me the honest opinion.
Was he spitting on you when he saw it?
That's what I'm trying to get at. What was your real opinion of the township guys?
You tell me your opinion, I'll tell you mine.
It depends. The two are very different, right? Are we talking about the people? Or are we talking about other categories and resources? Because as Steve knows, and I think you talked about it from Division 20,
yeah.
There's a lot of guys that grew up as younger guys that really Absolutely. Emulated the fire service well and spread out. Yeah. And I think Township really has that as well. I think I went to medic school with four Township guys. All of them are somewhere else and they're doing well. And that's...
Would you consider like the Township like the AAA ball club of the fire service? You fair. Go there, you kind of get your reps in.
You know, it's
except for you don't do rehab there. You don't go back. Yeah.
So I started on North Lake Fire Department as a paid on call. And we talked. I worked at Triton College doing fire science stuff and emergency medicine services. You're losing those part-time places. So the availability of Township actually helped a lot of people that didn't have a stepping stone to learn, is this the job for me? I know like North Lake's changed. There's not as many paid on call.
But do you still have that high-rise, that retirement home, that high-rise right off the
Concord,
expressway?
Dude.
Is that the Concord?
That's the Concord. That's at North Lake.
Yeah,
That is still there.
Right. That's got to be worth a couple thousand runs a year, right?
I don't know. Is not being there anymore. I mean,
that might be the building.
Community risk reduction, we can figure that out. But you know what? There's a lot of places that are like Township that are somewhat disbanding because of what they are.
Yeah.
And
they're just losing funding, right? So who's taken over? Is Elk Grove Village just now taking over that territory?
Elk Grove Village has taken just a little bit of chunk. Mount Prospect's taken actually the majority of it.
Okay. So they were kind of wedged between the two?
Yeah. And Des Plaines. It's all right in that same area. And that kind of happens as a fire protection district at times. But again, it's kind of sad because that was a great place for guys to get their reps in. You know, you talk about like a AAA ball club. We don't see that as much. And we talked about it. Testing right now. Testing is actually becoming an issue. We're not getting as many guys out there taking the test.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Unbelievable.
Like crazy on this podcast about you would go to a test. There'd be thousands of guys testing for one spot. And now you're going to a test. You got 10 spots and 20 guys testing.
Yeah, and it's global. It's not just us in this area. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And we're running out of paramedics.
Mm-hmm. Very Corey Steven Vince to get involved in a firefighter podcast when nobody wants to be a firefighter anymore.
Yeah.
It's our move, too. Yeah. That's kind of our thing.
I think it's because of our podcast.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. Like,
this is what it's like for real. These are the guys.
Damn.
I do not want to sleep in a bunk room with these guys. First.
Those guys are weird. Yeah, but I trust my life to them.
Yeah, sure. Right, right.
Now, that being said, you have gone to fires where you had the township guys show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was that? How did that really feel? Ooh. You see that? Because everything that I've seen, you guys got top of the line shit. You weren't rolling up in these 1970 LaFrance or something like that. You had good stuff.
Well, it depends on what helmet I'm going to wear. I never had a problem with those fellas. Just as in with anything, and you guys know this sitting at the table, it's the guys that are at the table on your shift that day. Yeah. And I didn't really have that. And as with anything, it's about how you treat somebody. So if they came to our side or they asked us, I've heard that there's been tension between people. If you go up to that officer, hey, man, what is it you need? I see something's going on. I'll be honest. I was an acting battalion chief one day, and Wooddale rolled up. And the guy's like, hey, man, I know you from this class. We've worked together. We've trained together. This sounds like it was about to be crazy. I hope you don't mind. I came to help you. No, man, that's what it's all about.
Right.
And we can even go back and say that's the same with the burn camp. You know, I don't know what you're going through, but we've got kids that do.
Yeah.
So I never had that issue on my shift with where I'm at.
But those stories are out there.
There are. Yeah. There are. But as with anything, do I believe every story that's out there? You know, like I'm married, right? There's his side, there's her side, and somewhere in the middle, there's the truth.
Yeah.
No, there's only her side.
Yeah. So you're married too. But I never had that type of problem with that. With township itself. And some of that comes with, hey, listen, if I go to your town to train, let's just at least be professional. And usually that transpires a little bit. You know, it's kind of like we talked about random fundraisers, like what you're hosting and you guys were talking about a different fundraiser I never heard of.
Yeah.
It's guys helping guys. And when we're off duty and you're having that interaction, now I know that we're on scene, you're going to do what's right for me.
Right.
And I'm going to do what's right for you. So I never had that issue.
Okay. Now, David, you took the high road there. You know, hats off to you. Now, Steve.
It's early. It's early. We're only one glass in.
So
give us the dirty.
I started a township in 06, so I owe my career to township, right? You know,
like, and Elk Grove has changed dramatically since the time that you came out, right?
I left there in 2010. So I was there for 4 years, and I loved it. You have to think about it this way. It's a stepping stone department, but there are guys there that are under 30. There's a whole bunch of guys under 30 that want to take classes and want to get hired full-time. So we had guys that were, like, thirsty for the job, and we partied together. We worked hard together. We trained hard together. It was some of the most fun I ever had.
Well, if you're a 20-year-old and you're wanting to do it, like, here's the perfect. You get to go play with all the tools. You get full access to that engine. You can go do whatever you want to do.
I lived there for a year at the station. They had a program called a sleeper program where you could take out the second ambulance or whatever. So or another engine if we had a fire call because we only had one station.
Oh, okay.
So we had four guys that had permanent rooms there, you know. It was what fire department do you know?
Permanent rooms?
Yeah.
Dude, depending on how this night goes, I might see if it's still open out there. I don't know.
If not, I got a room for you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
So, yeah, I got nothing bad to say about Elk Grove Township. The first time I met Dave was not at camp. We did a training with Elk Grove. I don't know if I ever told you this.
I don't think you have. I'm loving to hear it, though.
Yeah. We were on Oakton Street for a building that was being demolished or whatever. So we were doing some training there. And we finish training. We get back to the station. I go, did you guys see that guy who looked like Val Kilmer?
Oh.
I like you said Val Kilmer, not the midget.
You cannot unsee it.
No, Dave, I see that.
That was like with Kalaga being the the Tim Robbins?
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
That you can't unsee either.
No.
Is he just as tall, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Steven.
Yeah, no, that's. I mean, there's worse out there.
Right. I think you...
I meant Val Kilmer in Top Gun 2.
I talk a lot more
about that. That's a rough Val Kilmer, too.
Still a very emotional scene, though, by the way.
It is an emotional scene.
Dude, so, I mean, honestly, what's cool about your story, Steve, is that, like, it almost seems like you were born out of the burn camp because that's what really drew you to the fire service before even the whatever the backdraft nonsense. Like it was more about helping out the kids that really got you into it than, you know, whatever all the glory bullshit that we're all chasing right now.
I had applied to be a counselor when I first started the fire service at Elk Grove.
Wow.
And I was told there's a wait list for counselors. So I'll just wait, you know.
Yeah.
Phil, is there still a wait list for counselors?
We'll take them.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll take them.
I love
that,
guys.
How, let's get this out of the way early. How can somebody donate to Burn Camp and how can somebody sign up to be a counselor?
So ifsa.org. has all that information. You can also call our main. It is also on there. I can give you that number if you wish.
Okay.
Awesome. The availability that we have two ladies in the office that will reach out to you no matter how you try to contact them. We are always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for ambassadors. Everybody has a mission. Everybody has a different strength, and that's the good thing. Not everybody's meant to be a counselor. We've got people that they volunteer year after year, but not in the realm of counseling with the kids. And there are tons of different ways from golf outings. We have a great golf outing that comes up in September. It's actually one of the. I know I'm biased, right? Because it's the golf outing that I am part of. But everybody I know talks about how great that outing is, and it's in September. It's actually in the Wednesday or Thursday, September 11th, which is a great year. Right. So I think we should also try to see if we can get a.
No,
it was not on purpose.
It just worked out that way.
Yeah.
We need a professional bagpiper this year as well. That if we're going to do it that way,
we'll
so we can have the professional moment of silence. Yeah, that changes things a little, but we will do it right. We will do
and
it right
be
by
a
the organization
Chevy
Chase. By FDNY.
So you're
relative to the heavy topic. Professional bagpiper was actually Vince's college nickname. It was
college nickname.
Very different name.
What's your
very different
nickname?
Reason though?
You got to listen to the podcast to get that one.
I will find that one.
it wasn't for
Father Macron on here.
This
I mean, just put you up in my ladder.
Oh,
this is a running one.
It wasn't for his musical skills. I'll tell you guys that. I guess kind of going back to you, Steve. So when as you're coming up through the fire service. And you're getting back involved into the burn camp. Was there like one particular thing that kind of stuck out to you once you started getting back involved? Or I guess
so,
newly getting involved?
So it was wild seeing the pictures that my cousin would show me, my cousin Kristen, shout out. And she would say, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. And how much fun they were having. They do everything that a camp does, archery, you know, mess hall eating, all the way to actually like therapy with talking about
yeah like an actual sit down
like
them.
That so yeah. It's like just like an American camp
plays. You guys do plays over there?
There's like a talent show like
and we've done some skits.
We've done some
okay
we've done some skits.
We've even done some skits.
I instantly remember
it's not great.
But seeing her show me these pictures of the kids that she was a counselor for, and then my first year my co-counselor was one of those kids that I seen as a little kid in her picture. So it was kind of wild to see. That was an amazing connection
to see.
I knew this kid before I even met him.
That's,
you know,
honestly, Steve, that's what I was kind of getting to. Yeah. There had to have been one kid that stuck out to you, right?
Yeah, and it was wild to see that, and it was amazing. And I was so happy to be a part of that. Now, there's one personal moment for me. You can't go to a camp without a guitar or whatever. So Dave plays the guitar. He plays it wrong, though.
Are you the guy?
I'm left-handed.
Well, Jimi Hendrix was left-handed.
Yeah.
He was much better than me.
right. I am not Jimi Hendrix. Yes.
But what's a campfire without a guitar?
Sure.
Right? So I always bring my guitar, and then I also got a ukulele, right? And I had this one
now
kid.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
My man.
Countryman over here.
And so this one kid was just like he's in my cabin, and he's eyeing my ukulele, right? And he says, I play violin. And it's also four strings. If you know anything about musical instruments, which I don't know a whole lot about, but violin is strung different.
Did you get a little worked up because he was high around you? Or
no, he's like just violin looking at it and studying it and everything, right? And so the next year at camp, on the first day where the kids come, it's like a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
You get to see a lot of them for the first time in a year. This kid comes with a ukulele strapped to his back. He bought one.
Oh, dude.
And I says, oh, man, I actually like...
Yeah.
Had an impact on something, and we played in the talent show that year. We played the
what was your song?
Together. What a Wonderful World.
Of course. Yeah,
he picked it, but I said I wouldn't have picked any other song.
Yeah, dude, that's perfect.
Yeah, and that's the tattoo. So
there you go.
So there's a little bit of connection for me with camp. You know?
I'm so happy.
So this whole thing has just been part of your life forever. And it keeps coming full circle for you.
Yeah, as a counselor, I've been there. I won't stop doing it until until there's something like until life happens and I can't do it. But
yeah. Dude, ooh. I mean, again, like it's not you don't hear too many guys like get involved in the fire service because of like that aspect of it, you know, which is pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Who's got more time on between the two of you? You do?
Oh,
look at that. Like lots. Hair.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
I'm like, 20 years and then total 26.
You got? Are you gonna do 29 in a day? Or you guys, what are you going to do?
You know, that's a conversation off the mic. you know, I'll do something. I'll do
have
something.
More I'm, drink, Dave.
I'm always, looking, yeah. I'm always looking for options. I've been very, I love the fire service. I love what it has to offer. And integrity is important to me. And if something else calls for me to help others, maybe that happens. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say,
you talk.
I spent a lot of time with Steve. Oh, yeah. Spent a lot of time on Steve. So Dave, do you mind talking about your background a little bit? So, like, how did you start? You said you grew up in Northlake.
I did. I grew up in Northlake. Always knew I wanted to be a fireman.
Yeah.
But there was it was instilled in me, I'm going to go to college. And in fact, it was instilled in me that I was going to go to college, but I was also going to be the first one to graduate. Was the other part of it.
Right. Yeah, no.
So, I had a stepdad that was a captain for Northlake.
Okay.
He retired. He was on a disability for a while. He actually would go up there and do sports night. So Evanston Fire Department runs a sports night once a week up at camp. So my dad would go to camp, and he had this guy, and we talked about this earlier, Antonio, who had spina bifida.
Yeah.
And he could not, as the years were going on, he could not walk up and down hills. He couldn't run. So basically my dad gets there. He's an older retired guy, not really used to running. And they said for softball, you're going to hold this guy as he swings the bat. So Antonio gets up there. He's swinging. He's missing everything that can be. Well, he connected with one. And Antonio, who isn't supposed to be running, decides he's going to run to at least first base. So now my dad has to run with them. And this is, like you said, before we had digital cameras, before we could share things on social media the way we do now. And my dad was just lit up the next day. Like, this is what I did. So before I was a fireman, I was a high school teacher. I was a high school teacher, athletic trainer.
Okay.
Which explains how I ended up at Triton doing what I do. Still... I work for IFSI as well. Just love getting out there in that fire service. But dad's telling me the story, and he comes up, and he's like, you're a teacher now, so you have summers off. You need to show up.
Huh.
So
he wasn't asking.
He really wasn't. You know, everything that dad did wasn't asked, but there was that undertone that this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And I'll give a shout-out to him. You know, he was my stepdad since I was about 2 years old. He adopted me in February 2nd.
I don't think you can really say stepdad at that point.
Yeah,
right?
So he did finally adopt me. But there was always that undertone of you're going to do what's right for others. So I went for 1 year, and Antonio was in my cabin. His walking got worse.
Oh, no kid.
Every hill, he'd be like, can you carry me? I don't know if you guys saw me when I walked in. I'm basically 5'5", all right? That's as good as it gets. I have not changed height since I was about in sixth grade. And Antonio was taller than me, but when he would crouch down a little bit, the way he would walk, he just had issues, and we didn't want him falling.
Yeah.
So I carried this kid up and down hills for over a week. And my dad's like, hey, how's camp? I'm a little better with tech savvy. I shoot him a photo. He's like, that's the kid that changed my life.
Wow.
And in reality, that's a kid that also changed my life. Sitting here as a board member, second vice president, sitting here with Phil. I never thought that this organization would take me to where it has.
Yeah.
And every year I feel like there is a kid that just eats at your soul, eats at your heart. And it's different. It changes year to year. And there's so many stories that we have like that. And I feel like that's what happens with our volunteers. As long as I get you out to one event, man, it's going to change your life.
You're hooked. Yeah.
I agree.
Well, we were talking about the Operation North Pole, and you've been in that line, right?
I have.
You talk about life changing as those kids are walking. The first time I went, I was like, you know, it's nice. We'll go. We'll help out. We'll be there. But I was not expecting how emotional it was going to be when those kids walk down, when you line up, and those kids walk by, and they're coming over to you, shaking your hand. I was a crying mess halfway through that thing. And the first kid comes over, he's shaking my hand. And he's like, thank you. You know, these are, like, sick kids. And I was like, all right, I can fight this. I can hold it back.
Good.
Like,
we're good.
But by the, you know, 5 minutes later, I'm just a mess. I couldn't hold it back anymore. These, you know, and the families, the they're coming over thanking you, and all you're doing is just standing right there. You're supposed to be on one knee, yep, right? That's the
wearing
protocol
your,
wearing
for that. Wearing your Santa shirt.
Yep. You're supposed to have your bunker pants, helmet with your suspenders. That's what you're supposed to be in this line. And I'm thinking, I'm just here on my knee. You guys are out there, and you're thanking me for being here.
Right.
And they're in the fight of their life, yeah, literally.
This episode of Chicago's Bravest Stories brought to you by Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP. Corey, you know a lot about board up.
Man, I am a board up guy from way back then. So, you know, again, for a lot of you guys that aren't super familiar with what board up companies do, post-fire, we've got a lot of openings in a house. We got a lot of orifices, if you will.
Orifices.
And board up companies show up and they get you lined up. And these guys at Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP are the best in the business, pal.
Well, they're all about their victim assistance. So they'll take you from the fire all the way back to bringing you back into the house post-fire.
Yeah, it's not just about like fixing the house. It's about helping the person that was involved.
It's not just putting plywood on your windows, yeah, after a fire. It's about taking care of the victims. They have this saying about after the fire, now what? These guys will answer all those questions. They'll take care of everything. But you got to reach out to them. You can find them on Facebook at Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP. And if you go to our social media, we have the QR code. And just scan that QR code. It'll take you right there.
Yeah, man. And on top of fire restoration, they also do water damage, wind damage. Again, these guys, like, pretty much, if there's a disaster, if there's something terrible that's going on, they're going to help. They're going to prop you up and help you out in whatever way they can.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. They've had 10 years of supporting the fire service and even more than that of restoration, everything else. You went through the whole list on our last episode here about wind damage, restoring fine artwork, everything else, anything that you need post-fire, Chicagoland 1-800-BOARDUP can provide.
So yeah, Dave, so as you're coming up, so you were kind of teaching then. So did you get in the fire service a little bit later, or when did you?
So actually, when I was in college, I ended up becoming a paid on call. We kind of talked about like that township mentality.
Yeah.
So I was a paid on call at Northlake for a few years. Got into the educational. That's all right.
Yeah.
It happens. I was on Franklin Park for a year.
Oh, were you?
And I was actually
on
at
the contract?
Camp. No. I was actually on the fire side. They now have their ambulance, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
But I was at camp, and they're like, hey, you have to go run a mile and a half on Saturday before camp ends. And it was like 90-plus degrees.
When you were on with Franklin Park?
When I was on with Franklin Park. So I left burn camp, Camp IME, went over there, and I started jogging. And I remember singing the stupid camp songs. And all of us learn these camp songs, whether you want to or not. It's by osmosis. It just happens.
Yeah.
And I remember jogging in this 90-degree weather. I was not happy about it. And singing these songs. And it just kept going around and around. And I'm like, man.
Why was Franklin Park having you do a mile and a half?
That was one of their physical
That was part of the entrance exam?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did the stretch, which, by the way, you also see my 5'5
five
body.
Reach.
Yeah, we had to do the sit and reach, sit-ups, pull-ups.
I was just talking about the last day, the flex arm hang.
Yeah.
That was our thing, too.
Yes, so yeah, had that.
The track
that we jogged on was all concrete, which I didn't understand either. But yeah, those were the songs.
To climb
in my
up a
head.
Ladder, probably. And, yeah.
And at that time, there was also, he ended up becoming chief, but Bill Brehm was also one of the guys, was the volunteers.
Recently retired.
So Bill Brehm was also a pusher into keep doing burn camp. This is a great thing. Become part of the Illinois Fire Safety Alliance. And I think it just keeps, there's that little bit of spark.
Yeah.
That keeps going, and eventually it just catches flame, and it's done that. It's done that to Steve. It's done that to so many that we have. And luckily, I am fortunate where I have a department right now, Elk Grove Village, which is supporting much of the endeavors
that
to help me with that.
Yeah. How many kids do you take in for one camp at a time? And is it just one time per year that you guys put the camp on?
So right now we're in an area where we're up to almost 60 people. It has been more and less.
Just kids or counselors too?
So that is just for burn campers. Survivors that come to camp. And usually, and Phil's over here, so he might tell me I'm wrong or right, but we are almost to a one-to-one basis. Now, that does not mean that our one-to-one basis is going to be in the cabin with the kids. Okay. Some of ours are going to be administrative. Some of ours are going to be outreach. Some of ours are going to be programs. But there is a very good ratio that we have, camper to counselor.
So right around 60...
It used to be more, but again, when we talked about how medical advancements have happened, we've kind of lost some of that in the groundwork.
And how long is it?
So camp for our counselors is 8 days long. For the kids, it is 7 days long.
Okay.
It actually starts on Father's Day and goes to the following week, to that Saturday. Our counselors are there. They get proper training the day before. They also get introduced to their kids. So you kind of know who your kids are before you get them. And we kind of talked about this, you know, it, depending on the person, you're going to have different relationships, but it's great to know that, hey, here's a picture of your kid. Here's what happened to them. Here's some of the side effects from that. And here's how they act and how they are as a person. And that really does help us try to create some type of bond in that cabin. We have four different units from age of girls, young boys. And then our unit three, which is the high school kids, they're more interactive. They're all down in one area, and then our unit four, which is our counselors and training. And then again, as we've seen throughout the years, our campers are coming back and becoming those counselors. They're becoming the advocate for what they live, which is just a testament to the organization itself.
Outside of firefighters and the returning campers that are becoming counselors, do you guys have other medical, like nurses or docs that are coming out? Or
they come, so all the volunteers come from different walks, right? We got firefighters who are counselors. We got teachers. We got we do have our own nursing staff. We have a lot of the nurses that are in the burn units that actually know the kids before they ever come to camp, which is amazing. Because that's who you need at camp, right? Our nursing staff at camp is unbelievable.
If we have parents that are out there that are worried their kid won't have physical therapy, we do have physical therapists that come out as well. We do have a doctor that is on staff. they may not be there 24 hours. They may split some times.
Sure.
But we do have
people, these doctors.
But we have a full staff always covered in our health center.
Gotcha.
And that has been a true testament. Again, I don't think we could afford health care in itself. I don't think anybody could, to be honest.
Sure,
So to know that we've got some of these subject matter experts, as we would call them in the fire service, donating their time has just been great for us and for our kids.
Yeah.
You guys actively looking for people? I don't know, maybe, Phil, this might be a better question for you. Are you
from a particular group, maybe?
Yeah, are you going to burn centers and saying, hey, we have a program, if you guys should come across any kids? Are you trying to...
We have great outreach.
There you go. Get up in there.
Phil Zaleski.
We have wonderful relationships with all the burn units across the state. So it's nice to be able to provide the various programs that we have to them so that when they come across, whether it's children, adults, families that have gone through these significant injuries, that they can refer them to us for the different programs. Obviously, the camp is the signature program and most significant, but we have family programs and young adult programs, things like that. So we work hand in hand with the burn units to try to recruit the children, adults that need the additional.
That's an option for them.
Yes, absolutely.
They want to do it.
Yeah.
Are you guys, just while you're on the mic, are you guys looking for any particular background for volunteers right now? Like, is there someone that you're in need of right now or not necessarily?
A specific background? No. As Steve and Dave had mentioned, the greatest resource right now is our campers that have become counselors. Gotcha. And right now it's about 35-40% of our counselors are former campers, and that you can't replace that of children that were burned and have gone through their young life as burn survivors to be able to turn around and give back to now
actually having new that background youth that to have, give you
exactly. Yeah. Our health center is fully staffed. We have a great logistics team with the Hoffman Estates Firefighters Union that comes out and supports us greatly. And then for the cabin staff, really, as long as you have the enthusiasm and the passion to help try to support these children,
come aboard.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Are you a firefighter as well,
though? I'm not. No.
Okay.
No.
You were way too articulate to. Yeah,
we use a lot of big words.
and the way he's actually able to put pressure on his knees, you can tell 100%. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, no, this is right. Fine. This is not a problem.
So I am not a firefighter, but I have been involved with the fire service for 20 years. I've been with the Illinois Fire Safety Alliance for 10 years. And the 10 years prior to that, I was with the NPSA training facility in Glenview.
Yeah.
I was in charge of the programs there. It was not the direction I was expecting to go after college. It's where I ended up, and I loved it. And I got to meet we had police, fire, public works coming through that facility. And the fire guys were just fantastic. It was very different than police and public works, as I'm sure you all know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really neat to be around that and help with the programming. And when the opportunity for the executive director role at the Illinois Fire Safety came around,
So you have duties with them outside of burn camp, or is this kind of
no? I oversee the entire organization. Again, burn camp is just a program that we do. We have a lot more support programs. We do, as Dave said, the fire safety and burn prevention. Yeah,
you're heavy on the fire prevention, right?
Yeah. Yep. So
okay,
it's been a real fun 20 years of. Fire service fun without being a firefighter.
So since you guys asked what our story was that got us tied, and I'm almost, Phil, do you have a story that ties you in to camp that you said, you know what, this is it, this is where I'm at, this is going to become my
great family. Question, Dave.
Thanks.
I like it, dude. That's
you guys
good.
Came up with
that. That's hard hitting.
Yeah.
I was sold from the beginning, but what really encapsulates what our camp is all about is we had a girl. Now, this was, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. We had a new camper come. It was a female, and she came to camp. And, I try to make a point to learn about the campers. I see them throughout the week. Saw this one girl.
So really have as much background as
right,
you possibly
right,
can.
Right, right, yeah. And, going through the week, and the Friday before camp ends, the night before camp ends, we do a dance, and all the kids love it. The girls get dressed up, they get makeup, they get hair done, the boys put on their suits, and it's really a great way to end the camp.
Yeah.
And before the dance began, I was one of the first ones up there, and I'm sitting on one of the benches there, and I see this girl who's there, and I'm looking, I'm going, who in the hell is this? I'm like, is this someone from, is this a camp staff person that from the YMCA? Is this someone else?
Sure.
I'm going, I don't know who this is.
Yeah.
And I'm just scratching my head, and a couple of the counselors come up. I go, who is that? They go, oh, that's Megan. Well, Megan, as I'm looking at her right now, right before the dance, has this short, dark hair. Short.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, my gosh. She was wearing a wig the entire week at camp. 6 months earlier, she was in a home explosion. And they had to cut her hair to make sure that all the wounds were taken care of and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. Throughout the week of camp,
this girl that you had all the background on, you were very knowledgeable on her story, and didn't even know it was
Know she was wearing a wig.
Yeah,
thought that was her real hair.
Yeah,
and then I see her on Friday night, and she has this short, darker hair.
Yeah,
didn't recognize her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, and that is what camp is all about. You come to these kids come to camp, they're nervous, they're scared. They don't know what to expect, and they realize that there are other kids that have gone through very similar situations, and they become comfortable with themselves. Yeah. And at the end of camp, there she is. She pulled it off. She was all dialed up,
yeah.
And she had a fantastic time at the dance, and I mean that's why we're here
for her to be comfortable enough to like show her true self that, like that was pretty cool, right?
And that's what you know her hair was important to her,
yeah.
But she didn't have it at the time, and she that's why she was wearing that wig. But at the end of camp, it was pulled off. Just that right there is the moment for me that I'm going, this is what we should be doing.
I think it's the same as when the one kid had the scratch on the arm, mm-hmm. and she probably got to the point where she knew that nobody is even noticing stuff like that.
Right.
So that's pretty incredible stuff right there.
We have kids that come from all different backgrounds, some that have money, some that do not. And we have many kids that because they are burned or because they have scars, they actually come without the idea that they're going to go swimming. We have swimming in a lake. We have a blob that shoots you up in the air. We have boats. And we have a logistics department that has clothes, swimsuits for you. And by the midweek, a lot of times we have kids that go, hey, listen, I didn't bring a swimsuit because I'm not going to swim in front of kids. Go, I just saw the fun everybody's having. And there's kids in there like me, and I want to go swimming.
So we actually bring them because of their burns.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we have a great group of staff that actually supports any of the needs of the children that don't come to the counselor, such as clothes. If there's any type of special needs that are needed by accessibility, the Hoffman State Fire Department with Alan Wax, who also runs Operation North Pole, those guys are amazing. They'll get anything. So if a kid comes in and says, "Hey, you don't even have my size of Crocs, you don't have my size for a bathing suit, but I want to go swimming," these guys will go out and get it for them special.
Wow.
And they'll do that for bedding, they'll do that for clothes, whatever these kids need that they're not aware they didn't even need, we have guys that will go out and make sure they need it. So earlier to you when you asked about like volunteers, are we looking for a demographic? No, because all different demographics and all different strengths come together for that one need of those children, and that's what's amazing. And Phil just hit on it exactly. Our kids forget that they're burned while they're there, and that's exactly the reason for this camp.
Well, let's ask you an even harder hitting question here. At camp, who's doing the cooking? You got a fireman in there?
So we do not. We kind of do.
Steve, how's the food?
I wish. Right?
It's camp food. I will say this though: to cook for all the people at the camp, 150 people. 3 meals a day. Can you imagine that? I got to say, it's not as bad as you think.
I was going to say, I know they're not harsher critics than the idiots that we work with.
Yeah. Correct. Correct, right? Or kids that have special
diets. Oh, who used ketchup on this? What is this?
I'm sure the Friday stew is a culmination of...
right. Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah. Right.
So we have a designated professional cook. It is not actually from the organization. It is from Camp Duncan YMCA.
Yeah.
So that person is there for the whole summer.
Oh, they're providing you a cook.
They do, right? Okay. And we do pay a service. We do have... Sure. Availability to all their resources, and that's one of the big ones.
Yeah.
They do listen to dietary restrictions. They also do the dishes.
Okay.
I will say there's a company that usually donates some steaks the day before to prepare us for camp, and that does nice get cooked by, and forgive me, who's it get cooked by?
Uncle Steve.
Uncle Steve is one of them, but it's a handful of fire guys that come and cook.
Oh, Glenview does Appreciation Day, yeah.
Glenview Fire Department comes on the Appreciation Day, and they will do all
the cooking. Who donates those steaks?
I don't know. It depends.
Now we have volunteers donating the money.
Now we have volunteers. It used to be a company, but that has changed somewhat recently.
Well, let's put it out there. Let's put it out there that if you want to help Burn Camp.
That's right. If you have a connection to Weber Grill or somebody that has some pristine,
you can get your hands on some steak.
We would love that.
It's the least we could do for our volunteers.
It's the least we could do for volunteers. You're correct.
Yeah. Donate steaks. That's our new campaign. Donate steaks.
These kids are hurting. They need steaks.
One of the things that we did change a little bit is we've noticed there are companies out there that want to pay for a specific thing. So if you came and said, hey, listen, we need $1,000 for this, we now have created where you can go on our website and you can say, listen, I want to donate this money to go to this particular thing. Like, I want to donate steaks. Money so that my logo for my company is on your shirts. Yeah. We have that availability where it becomes advertisement for your business, for your person.
Sure.
And that has really helped us as well.
Okay. Stick with me here.
I will.
These steaks donated by whatever company. The steaks provided by this. Insert your company name here.
You would get a shout out from us. You'd get a shout out from Phil. it would go on social media, right?
I'll tell you what.
We're very good at promoting our people.
If there is a company, and I want you guys to be in contact with us, if there's a company that does donate steaks to you guys, you send it to us, and we will promote them for a month.
That's I love that idea. And we'll give you the tax exempt so that it also shows up when you're doing
We will promote you for a month.
We don't do taxes.
You don't, but the state company
What are these taxes? Yeah, no,
the state company may want that.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. Your company donating steaks is a lot better than your company donating Polish sausage, you know, or, you know what I'm saying? We donated the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. It's not going to hit as well as...
Being one of the Polish guys here, if you get me, like, pierogies and some Polish sausages, I will...
It's not enough.
You know, I'm just saying
that I'm almost half Polish?
You don't look
obviously,
it.
Obviously, this man's half Polish.
He's
yeah. What's the other half?
One of my favorite things is...
You know, it's funny. Yeah. So it was just brought up to me. So we do have a thing called Uncrustables.
Oh, yeah. Very familiar.
So if somebody wants to donate those.
Because Uncrustables is...
Uncrustables, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, is a huge hit with our kids for a snack, especially in the high heat. That's always...
All right. Well, let's... How many steaks are we talking, and how many Uncrustables are we talking? I want to make this happen.
You want to make this happen?
I want to make this happen because I want to promote it.
120 steaks.
We need all 120 steaks
to prepare us for that week.
Would we say the same amount of Crustables? You got to double the Crustables, right?
Obviously,
it's more than that.
Crustables are just for the volunteers before camp begins.
Okay,
it's a little treat to them before.
Okay,
Uncrustables, 30 times 7, 250.
250. All right.
250 for Uncrustables.
So we need a donation of 120 steaks and or
250.
Let's make it 300.
Yeah.
Why? Let's make 300. Why mess around with 250?
Put your brand name on it. We'll send it out.
Yeah. And if you are willing to do that, we will promote anything you want. We will put you on all our social media for a month.
I love it.
So there.
Bingo, bingo.
And whatever you do, I will then forward on as well.
There we go. There we go. So this could be quite lucrative for whoever wants to donate. You know what? Let's make it 122 steaks, Corey.
Oh.
There you go.
I like a little color commentary at the Camp IMB. Is that what you're looking for?
You know, and there's your invite, by the way, gentlemen. So the day before, the Saturday before Father's Day, if you guys want to come out, I would tell you come on and join us. I would even tell you actually on June 19th, which is our visitors day, come out on that day because then the kids are there.
Yeah.
And there is ice cream that's usually there. There's, you know, everything that you can do. We have a gentleman that runs what they call fun fair.
Obviously.
You bring a fire truck, you go in the parade, you get done with the parade, you meet the kids, you get lunch, and then you go to the fun fair and you make a day out of it.
Awesome. Yeah, I was actually just gonna say, Dave, so if guys were like guys on the job right now, if they were looking to kind of like dip their feet into this, would that be a good day for them to check out?
That's probably the perfect day to meet and get an idea what camp is.
Again, guys, if you guys are local, you know, this is near the north side of Illinois or northern Illinois, but it sounds like a perfect opportunity.
We also have one right now, and I'm just going to throw this out, but we have a shirt program right now where you can sponsor either a shirt via money, or we're looking for shirts for that say fire department on, or your union local, and that's a big one, right?
Okay.
Sometimes towns don't want their local out there, but you know what? You give me an IFF shirt that's got some cool logos on there, we're going to put it on our kids and try to promote you as well.
The kids love fire. Well, I'm going to put our sponsor's feet to the fire here because our sponsor has helped you guys as well, 1-800-BOARD-UP. Our Chicagoland 1-800-BOARD-UP guy, Gary Swenson, I told him that you guys were going to be on. And he's like, tell you guys, hey. And so I'm going to actually turn around on him and put him on the spot. So if Gary from 1-800 Chicagoland Board Up, 122 stakes.
He's a big
right, Corey?
He's a big tomahawk guy, from what I hear. What I hear about
this
fella.
Listen, if he wants to do that, we'll even do that. Sure. Throw it out there.
I'm too poor to even realize what a tomahawk is, but I hear that he's a big
right. I don't know what this tomahawk, but it's delicious.
Right.
So if we will say stuff like visit Chicagoland 1-800 Board Up, we will promote this even more than we already do for you. I mean, this guy can have whatever he wants on this podcast. He's going to get promoted no matter what. But but he has connections with you guys, and we just want to put his feet to the fire a little bit and get those 122 stakes and or the Crustables.
Uncrustables are a big deal. Yes.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, again, it's an organization.
You locals out there, I know you locals out there are listening. Get your local together. Spend some of that money. You know, you get.
Or promote yourself.
Yeah.
Even something like this. We have on the Visitor's Day, we have the FD parade where we have the rigs go through.
Oh, yeah, all lined up.
If you got a reserve rig, if you got extra guys that are off, yeah. To all the locals, the kids love that. Let's make that parade as long
Where'd
as
Where'd that Elk Grove Township rig go? I don't think that one's being used right now. Oof.
I'll tell you what, yeah. How many of our rigs have fucking highway time? You know what I mean, Vince?
Oh, you got to clean them out.
Yeah, you got to clean
that depth. You got to clean that out.
Right.
You know, we were just talking about these old diesel ambulances that needed. There was a point in time, I don't know, early 90s, late 80s, that a light would come on and it would say that you had to get on the highway and you had to blow this thing out.
That was a thing.
And
yeah.
So there's a picture.
I think when DEF first came out, that was a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is DEF fluid? Can anyone explain?
Nobody knows. It's like the cloud.
Nobody on this podcast. Yeah.
It's like a money maker. I was just talking about this.
It means you have to regen it for a half hour.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
But there are pictures of city rigs in places city rigs should not be. But because they were
for like, that reason. Not right. Not for any other.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But when I think about these you know, getting these locals involved, because that's always a good thing. It's a very good connection for these locals to be involved with you guys. And, you know, locals are always raising money. You know, let's...
Fund a cause.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Be part of this.
You know, you're going to do a fundraiser anyways. Let's find a good cause and let's promote you at the same time.
Huntley Fire Department has like an Explorer program. I don't know if I'm saying that right, cadet program, explorer program, and they bring their guys out, and they run a couple booths on the fun fair day.
Like games and prizes.
Yeah, games, oh, okay. You know, like bowls and buckets or something like that or whatever. So
let's put the screws to like Gurney, exactly. Antioch, all those guys around there. Like, yeah. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
This episode of Chicago's Bravest Stories is brought to you by Sports and Ortho. If you're a city employee and you get hurt, you have the option to request Sports and Ortho when you're being assigned some physical therapy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We can always choose us. We're on the city plan, so if you want to come to us, we are happy to see you.
Yeah, you're not locked into whoever they send you to. You can always make a request to go to a better facility if you'd like, and Sports and Ortho is a good alternative.
We think so.
122 sticks is all we're looking for.
So Phil's tap his feet. I think he has to go pee.
Does Phil tap his feet?
I don't know.
How Phil thought he wasn't going to get on the microphone at all. He was just going to sit back.
No, I don't. You know,
be a voyeuristic part of this podcast.
I was watching, always judging.
Yeah, no, I was
good. All right, well, we'll take a break here.
I was going to say before that, if you don't mind, Steve, you want to tell me real quick, what was your first fire? Can you remember?
Was it a township? Really quick, I got a guy. I'll relay everything together.
Dude,
there's a younger guy on our department, a new guy, great guy. His name's Bredge. Shout out.
Yeah,
he said Bredge. He came out to me, and Bredge says, "Hey, I heard you're going to be on America's Bravest Podcast. That's my favorite podcast.
Chicago's.
Yeah, he's not.
No, but he's talking about America's Bravest Podcast.
He listens to you guys regularly. I didn't hear of you guys until Phil brought it up, but. Bredge, enlighten me.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Bredge.
He asked this question not too long ago at the dinner
table. We're going to send you something for Bredge. You're going to walk out of here with something.
He says at the dinner table one time, he's working on our crew, and he says, hey, let's go around the table, and what's your first fire? And I said, dude, I don't remember, but we went on a crazy call that I don't want to get into details with. It was a medical call. And I go, these are the calls I remember, you know, like the wacky ones, the crazy ones. But gosh, my first fire was... I think it was a truck fire at Elk Grove Township where it was just a couple trucks on fire, but that was nothing crazy.
Like,
but
semi trucks.
What a good way to get into the
now. But see, if you're with a department like, you know, like a volunteer like an Elk Grove Township, you could be showing up to something like that with two guys. So that, you know, you go to these regular career departments, you're gonna have minimal manning. no matter what, but you guys could be showing up with...
When I was at Elk Grove Township, here's the thing. I told you we had those four guys that live there. So there were certain addresses that if they came up, we had a strip club in town, Heavenly Bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And so if 1300 South
Elmhurst...
They had
a lunch special.
Still do.
Yeah. Do they really?
Yes. I've heard.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It's like, there it's like $5.
But they had, if that address comes up, there's all of a sudden six guys on an engine, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
We were, if there was a fire, we'd always have more than two guys.
Do you remember the address?
Yeah, 1300 South Elmhurst.
Hey!
If it come across the dispatch, everyone's running.
Oh, yeah.
We were at the firehouse, dude, you know?
Nobody goes for the sick person on the second floor.
Better throw the chief on that one.
Yeah. Abdominal pain? No one.
Yeah, no one. They're all busy. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Yeah. Scott, they had a lunch special. You go in there for like $5. You get this great lunch.
I don't know if it was great.
Yeah.
It was like a hot dog.
Because I used to work out there.
Pizza.
Like,
yeah.
Some pizza.
Back in the day when I was
just dancing.
A kid. Yeah. When I was dancing.
back when I had to keep in better shape on the stage. You know?
Yeah, all right, let's take a break before you get in trouble.
Oh, now Vince is going to explain to me the story. All right, I'll talk to you guys. The opinions and views are that of Chicago's bravest stories and their guests. They do not necessarily reflect the views of any municipal governments, fire protection districts, fire departments, EMS, or law enforcement organizations.